Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives! Fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now, reporting for duty, your hosts, Tara Crook and Gar Henderson.
Well, hello out there, fellow Army Wives, and welcome to Army Wives Talk Radio, show 440. My name is Tara Crooks, and I'm your host.
And I'm your host, Paula Swanson. It's Monday, October 7th, 2013, and we're so glad that you've decided to join us tonight.
Absolutely, we are. If you're joining us live, we want you to know you can join us in the live chat room over there at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR when you click to listen to the show. Our chat is about midway down the page. Be sure you can log in over there, or be sure that you do log in. Otherwise, we just see you and you can't talk back to us, and we like for you to talk back. We call you a lurker if you're not. you can also follow us on our Twitter over at twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork. We use hashtag ArmyWife to ask questions and participate over there.
Yep, and we want to give a huge thanks to our platform, Blog Talk Radio, and of course all of our AWN sponsorship team for allowing us to bring you Army Wife Talk Radio tonight.
Thanks, guys. You know, I am not even going to lie to you guys. I am absolutely exhausted. It has been such a week. I'm worn out. I don't even know what to tell you. I thought I would take the day off today, but my email kept me really busy, and I did get to spend some time with my family. My husband got sent, because we are working for FEMA now. Well, he's working for FEMA, and that's why we're here. He got sent to Louisiana in case a big storm blew in, and so he got to take the day off. I still had some stuff on the calendar, but I thought I'll take today off too. And, I thought I really could, but I did better than last week, though, I will say that. It was a week last week. I'm hoping things are going to get better.
Oh, I'm with you. I I'm worn out myself.
Not personally. I mean, like, personally it wasn't crazy, but professionally, I mean, I just felt like I don't even have words. Just the misinformation and just so many things coming at us at one time, and we were trying to juggle all of it, and it just was it was a very interesting week. So what did you do though last week? I mean, like, personally last week, besides hanging out moderating Facebook, what did you do?
yeah, exactly. Absolutely. You know, I had a pretty busy week when it comes to just the civilian job life kind of thing. I had a pretty busy week going on with that. But then, you know, it's funny because my oldest daughter and I were kind of messaging back and forth with one another and already scheduling our holidays, the holiday dinners and the grandson's birthday. And I'm just like, seriously, we're already talking about this and scheduling our holiday? It's amazing this year has gone by so quickly.
But, you know, I am glad they're scheduling it. I mean, I wouldn't get on to them for scheduling
it because
it needs to be
scheduled.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, no, I got on to my mom today about that. So.
Yeah, when you've got, you know, blended families and this and that, and you're trying to appease everybody, and, you know, I've got one daughter that lives out of state, and she's going to be in town. So we're trying to coordinate all of that kind of stuff. And, you've got to sit down and kind of look at everybody's schedule and try to, you know, do it the best you can. And so that's what we worked on that last week. And so it was just kind of a wow with all the craziness going on, too. And then
to
thinking about the holidays.
Schedules together. Yeah.
Yeah. But then on the Army Mom front, my National Guard son signed his ROTC contract. And so he was very excited about that. Very excited about it. And so he is having an outstanding so far sophomore year at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. And is just loving it. And this was just a great, you know, he's real excited about signing the contract. And so he got that done. So we're real excited and very proud of him. So what about you?
Absolutely. I'm excited. And Abby says, the real question is, does his certificate say his name?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I have some serious issues with that. And I don't know that we've discussed this before, but my poor son has never had any award, any certificate, any trophy, anything spelt correctly. Either his first name is wrong or his last name is wrong, and neither are very difficult to do. To spell correctly, that is. Or worse yet, he'll get something that has it both wrong. Well, we're having the challenge because his basic training certificate of completion is wrong, and I'm just not even going to say what I really want to say about a particular member of the military that
but
is supposed to be there to help.
Finally?
No. No.
Still not right.
Has not.
Still not right.
Has not. Nope.
Not cool.
So
well, I hope
we'll follow up
happens.
With that.
But congratulations to him. So
yes, thank you.
It was a proud mama moment, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I just told everyone in the chat room I need to get my act together because I'm cranky. I know this. I know that you're all thinking this. I just can't. Nothing that I've done today seems to, well, in the last like 5 hours, seems to have actually worked. So I'm mad at my computer right this second and Facebook because I tried to start. I'm looking at a conversation that I started 10 minutes ago. where I just thought I was talking to myself and wondering why no one was talking back to me, but I figured everybody was late. And then I see why haven't we started a chat yet? And I'm like, I'm right here. I put everything in here. Ugh. Very frustrating when technology does not cooperate with you. But anyhow, other than that, today was a pretty fun day. And we went out this morning to the pumpkin patch. It was a little bit of a bust as far as, like, you know, wonderful things to do, but it was fun in that it was our family and we were having a good time. So we did the whole pumpkin patch thing, and then we went out to lunch, and we came back and took the dogs out to run around, and the windows are open down here in Texas, and the weather is beautiful, and you cannot complain about that. Absolutely cannot complain. Yummy weather. Yummy, yummy weather. And I had chili for dinner again because I'm the only one who eats it, so I made it. Yeah, I made it yesterday, and nobody eats it but me, so I was like, you guys are fitting for yourself.
Oh, but it's always better the next day.
I know.
But it's always better.
Yeah. So they're downstairs, you know, and they just got back from soccer practice, so I figure they can feed themselves when they get back. So that's the way that's going to go. Star and I have been working on our plan for AUSA. You know, it's kind of weird to have her still around for part of my life but out of the other part of my life. That was strange, you know, because especially we need to change our intro. I have a new intro for us, but when I heard her name, and I went, now I'm sad again. I know. Dang
yeah.
it. So that was hard, but we've been working on that this week, and I've got a solid plan together for what we're going to do at the family programs, which we're going to talk a lot about tonight here with Patty. So really excited to talk about that. I had to tell you guys the one thing last week that I totally forgot about is, have you ever had, well, my kids didn't have school today, told you that, neither one of them had school, and they called and said, you know, this is Denton ISD, blah, 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 we don't have school today, but, or on Monday, so don't bring your kids to school because we don't want them here kind of deal, but Renna had school, regular school last week, you know, at the middle school, but Chloe got out a half day last week for an entire week. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I've not heard of that. Now, my kids had what they called late start, like a couple of Mondays a month. They actually started like an hour later. I don't understand why they did that.
So what did they do? What did they do for that hour?
They slept in.
No, not the kids. Like, why did they? Okay, the reason they let out for this whole week was it was parent-teacher conference week.
Oh.
But all the parent-teacher conferences were done on 2 days, and then they were done. So I don't know what they did for the rest of the week. But it's not my place. You know, I don't, whatever. The school schedule is the school schedule. But it was very interesting because, you know, I don't know. It's hard to do stuff with work from home when you've got a child with you. I'll tell you that. So she did a lot of working beside me. She worked in the office beside me because we have a side-by-side desk in here. So she worked over and read and stuff while I worked a little bit after school each day. But I just wondered what they what they did after school and why they did it like that. Like, there had to have been a reason. I'm sure there is. It's something that I just don't know. But I'd never had that at any other location we're at. And, which brings me just to the whole today, as we're wandering around all over the place, I said to Kevin and the girls, because we were talking about why I love donkeys so much, okay? This is total random. Anyway, and they were like, why do you love donkeys so much, Mom? How come all of a sudden you love donkeys? I'm like, I've always loved donkeys. I'm like, how come all of a sudden you talk about them all the time? And I'm like, because all of a sudden we live in an area where you drive to school and you see donkeys. I mean, and they're just so stinking cute. How can you not? So today I got to pet one at the pumpkin patch, by the way. But,
how can
you not think they're cute? And I said, you know, you guys, it's kind of like, like last week when I was talking about you guys being out of school and how we were like, that's really weird. It's never been like that anywhere else we've been. And here, this is kind of like that, like as far as military goes, you know. In this location, donkeys are what I'll remember. You know, at Fort Sill, I remember the squirrels and being able to have all the nature all around us because the wildlife center was right behind our house. And the wind, I'll never forget the wind in Oklahoma. That is always, when someone says Oklahoma, I think of wind. So, you know, and in Georgia, I mean, in Savannah, we got to go to the beach. And so, I mean, there were just different things in different places that you remember. And I said, and so your mind and all the places you've been in your life will be very eclectic. And so Kev's like, that's true. Everything we do, everything they do is very eclectic. And do you feel like that was your childhood? Were you eclectic? And I was like, no, I lived in the same place growing up my entire life. Like, so, and he said, isn't that weird to think that what they think of and what we think of as growing up are totally different because, you know, they have all these experiences that we've not had. And I said, totally. I mean, like, I don't know why he's just now thinking about this. I was like, yes. I mean, so then we had the big conversation. And like I said, just goes off on a complete tangent here. But we had the conversation about how when someone says, where are you from? Or you say, I'm going to go home.
Oh, are you going?
What do you think? Where do you think of? So when someone says to me, where are you from? What house do you think of? Not what state or whatever. You know, like, what house do you think of? And so Kevin's like, oh, well, obviously I think of my house that I was growing up in, you know, on Newton. And I don't think about, like, you know, the house my parents live in now as home. Because
right.
Home to me was this little house I grew up in all my life. And so I said, okay, well, when you say to me where you're from or what house you, I think of my grandparents' house because that was the only, like, permanent house that I always could go back to. How about you? What do you think of?
You know what? I don't think of a particular house. I think of a location. I think of the city. Yeah, the area. I don't have, unfortunately, I don't have those memories of having
a house to go back to.
Home.
Well, so they don't have a house to go back to. So you'll relate. So we asked them, said, when you think of a house, like what house do you, everyone is like, well, the only house that I really think of when you stay home is our house in Georgia, because that's where most of her little childhood was. And Chloe, to her, home is Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, Fort Sill.
So I said, does this house not feel like home? And Renna and Chloe both said, no, this house isn't home.
Mm-mm.
Isn't that strange? I know, it's
just
so weird. Anyway, so today that's what they wanted to do, was come up and go through all the pictures to look at the houses that we've lived in before and all that. It's just a really interesting, that puts me in a good mood, see, talking all about all that, but very interesting spin on everything. And I mean, just looking back at, like, okay, there's these things, these little things in your life that are different, and the only reason that you think they're so weird is because they've not always been like that. You know what I mean? Like, all these people around here, like, the fact that they were out for half a day for an entire week and they didn't have school today, like, that's just the norm to them. Like, they didn't even bat an eye, nothing. They were just like, okay, go on about your day. My kids are getting out at 12 o'clock, and it's cool with me because they're used to it.
But do you think, though, I mean, because you guys haven't been in that house for that long, and do you think
maybe it'll change,
you know, like once the holidays and you guys have, you know, all of your...
And you know, Paula, we may, because Kevin's not got that long, you know, we may just decide that this, the girls and I, this is where we're going to stay. Let him go finish once he's done with this assignment, go finish whatever he's got to do for a year or so. And then we may just stay here for a while. And then maybe it will become home. But right now, of course, because we've only been here since July, this is really not home to them. So it's just really funny. Even though your stuff is here, even though your family's here, this is just not home. Like, they still feel like they're in a hotel on a vacation, which I guess is a good thing. But it is kind of funny. I don't know. It was just a very interesting conversation. And it all stemmed from us talking about about the school thing and then the donkeys. And it was just like the whole thing just went into this big family conversation of, you know, gosh, things are different everywhere you move to all around, and you're going to have all these experiences to draw from. And you know, Kevin's like, wait a minute, we don't have all those experiences to draw from. I'm like, yes, I know, they're military kids.
Right.
So that's what happens when you have non-military parents, you know, coming into a military situation and raising military brats, and then they're going to go off and, like, this is going to be so normal to them, and it's, you know, an adjustment to us. So, anyhow, I'll stop talking about randomness. I hope you guys enjoyed that. We should probably get back to business. I should probably, you know, catch up and pay attention, hopefully. All right, let's talk about what happened to AWN last week while we were all doing our personal stuff. And well, we all know what happened on AWN was really what was happening while we were moderating Facebook. So let's talk about that.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives, a network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
All right, well, we're going to talk about some of our columns over here in our AWN happenings. And under our, if you don't know, we have contributors to different columns on our main website. If you go to armywifenetwork.com, and across the top, you'll see the word columns. And if you put your cursor over that, there's all kinds of subcategories underneath there. And if you go to the me column, there's a great article written by our very own Household 6, Kawanda, and it's about know your stuff. There are so many things, irreplaceable or otherwise, and when we move from one duty station to another. So how do you keep track of it all? Do you have a system in place that you use to keep track and know what you've got, especially when it comes to PCSs and that sort of thing? And then over underneath the health and fitness column, we have got George Banker, and he's the operations manager for the Army 10-miler, and his article, Developing Your Mental Toughness and Having a Coach. And he presents Monique and Alyssa, and Monique takes a few minutes to share what keeps her running while keeping a busy schedule, which we all have. And Alyssa, who is the only four-time Army 10-miler winner, talks about what to look for when searching for a coach. And I know that we've got a couple of our teammates that have done the Army 10-miler in the past, and I think a couple of them are signed up to do it this year. So some good information there if you're interested in running and looking for a coach and that sort of thing. Go over to the health and fitness column and check out what George Banker, the Army 10-miler operations manager, has to say. Gives you some great information there. So just remember that we've got a number of columns there and a lot of great articles to answer pretty much any question that you have. So check it out over there at armywifenetwork.com.
Absolutely, what is not to love about George Banker? I mean, really, the man is just awesome.
He's awesome.
He is. He's the sweetest man, I swear. I don't know what, you know, I always believe that everything happens for a reason and people cross your paths so that you have something to learn from them. And George Banker is absolutely one of those people that you know that they were put there for a reason. So remember when I told you that I hated Facebook because it was frustrating me tonight? I won't load. Okay, here we go. Finally. I'm like, come on. Are you kidding me? I don't know. I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's Facebook. Probably, I always stay away from the self-checkouts at Walmart because I have this magnetism that just will break it every time. And so I've decided that that might be what it is. Okay, our Facebook fans grew exponentially this week. We are 57,658 fans over there. And let me tell you what, they are, every single one of them is appreciated and loved and very hard to round up like chickens and cats last week. So I will leave it at that. I loved it, but my moderating Oh, my gosh. Just trying to get everybody on the same page when you've got 57,000 people out there, it's very hard to do. So we are really proud to say that we think we got some official information across, and we really just, you know, we said several times last week, and we didn't mean this to be, you know, crankiness, but we wanted you guys to know we're not a 24/7 news agency, and we just really hard, really were trying hard to make sure you got the right information, but it had to come from official source because we don't know any more than you do. You know, we basically have to wait on the same thing that anybody else has to wait on. So this week the hot topics were, of course, absolutely, of course, the government shutdown. Hands down, nothing topped it. That was just what was on tap. Pay was at the top of that list. And, of course, it continues to be, but things will calm down just a little bit, which is good. The funniest graphic of the week was the memorandum for embracing the suck. The really funny part about that was it was dated October 10th, and so we're hoping we're not going to have to be embracing any suck on October 10th. But I didn't see that it was October 10th. I didn't even pay any attention to the date on it, and so I would have scheduled it for October 10th. Obviously, we schedule our stuff in advance. And so it was a crack-up because, of course, somebody noticed it, and then I'm like, dang it. So they said, I hope that nothing happens on October 10th. I said, I don't either. I hope that you are right. We're not having to embrace any more suck because I think we've embraced all that we can. We did a lot about how do you, or a question about how do you motivate yourself and motivate others when you are just in a funk? You know, what do you do to get yourself out of that? And that was a really hot topic, which was good because I think we needed that. Over at lovingasoldier.com, our blog, Household 6 Kiwanda shared her busted story. Star did her not goodbye letter, and then we had the post with the most is Fort Gordon, Georgia. So I hope you guys go over there and read Star's not-so-goodbye letter, and you'll see the press release over there, too, announcing Emily as our new editor-in-chief, and saying goodbye to Star for now. I say for now because you never know what we're going to hit her up for, right? If you're interested in blogging with us, give us a shout-out. It's info, I-N-F-O, at armywifenetwork.com, and we'd love to have you come over and blog with us. And you can send us a writing sample. We've got all kinds of stuff we'll send out to you that you can send back to us, and we'll get you all approved and set up. And that is what we have. No PSAs tonight, though, huh?
No, no PSAs, but just a reminder that we do offer that. So if you or your business have a military-related PSA, and we limit them to two per show, ask for them 10 days in advance. And if you do, please email us at info@armywifenetwork.com so that we can get those in the rotation.
All right, thanks for that, Paula. Okay, guys, tonight we have Patty Barron. She's the Director of Family Readiness at AUSA. That's the Association of the United States Army. And you can find out more about AUSA's family programs at ausa.org/family. Also, you can follow them at Facebook, facebook.com. I'm umming a lot tonight. Sorry, guys. facebook.com/AUSA family or on Twitter, twitter.com/AUSA fam programs. That's PRGMS, though. AUSAFAMPRGMS. Okay, we're going to tag that on our Twitter page as well. The resource of the week tonight, Good Financial Sense. You can find them at Good Financial Sense, CENTS.com, like, you know, the dollars and cents, and facebook.com/goodfinancialsense.jeffrose.cfp. Jeff Rose is a good friend of mine. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. He and his wife have an absolutely awesome blog, and they do some really fun stuff over at that site, so go check it out. Twitter.com/JJeffRose, J-J-E-F-F-R-O-S-E, and we'll also put that in our Twitter for them to follow us. We've got our Me Minute tonight, and I think that's it. So we've got some headlines coming up for you. Let me see if, because we're a little early tonight. I thought we talked a lot. I guess we didn't. Well, we are a little early, but I know we got lots of news. So let's go ahead and break to that, and then, guys, we will come back with some more. But let's get to our news because I know she's got a lot to cover tonight, so maybe it was good we didn't talk as much. What do you think?
Probably so.
Sounds good. All right, let's go get some news.
Hi, I'm Tara Crooks, co-founder of the Army Wife Network. No matter if it's birthdays, holidays, or just another day of the week, it's the perfect time to use the Military Star Card on gifts for your whole family. Not only can you use it for purchases of gas for mom's taxi and games online for the kids, but also you can save money every day on fun activities for the family. Use it online at APHIS.com and shop for a multitude of items for each member of your family while taking advantage of the special advertised sales for Military Star Card members. The Military Star Card is just another way that APHIS gives the savings back to you while enhancing the quality of life for the whole family.
Army Wife Network is a community on a mission to empower those who follow. We have been your trusted resource for advice and information on this Army journey. Now, AWN is giving you more with the introduction of AWN Shopping. AWN Shopping is a one-of-a-kind online shopping experience. AWN Shopping makes it easy to shop with all your favorite online stores like Kohl's, Old Navy, Target, and more. You can even share great deals or your favorite items with your friends and family. The best part is that you'll just be doing your regular shopping, but you'll be earning money for yourself and for our network through those purchases. Log on to shop.armywifenetwork.com to learn more and start saving while supporting Army Wife Network today.
It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6, Corey, giving you your need-to-know news. Tonight's News 6 segment is brought to you by the federal government shutdown. We continue coverage with an update on DoD civilian furloughs. Hundreds of thousands of Defense Department civilians who were released from furlough Monday began filtering back into workplaces worldwide as supervisors throughout the department struggled to make sure everyone knew their status. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel announced an end to furloughs Saturday afternoon, and some officials said privately that the weekend timing made the recall effort chaotic. Commanders and supervisors had to interpret guidance from Hagel to determine which of the furloughed workers could return and which would remain home from work. But for those still out of work, the prospect of prolonged furloughs began looking less grim Saturday after the U.S. House of Representatives unanimously passed a measure that would pay furloughed workers for the time they'd missed. President Barack Obama supports the measure, and the Senate is expected to approve it as well. The Pay Our Military Act, passed on the eve of the current government shutdown, doesn't allow all DoD workers to return, Hagel announced Saturday. The Department of Defense consulted closely with the Department of Justice, which expressed its view that the law does not permit a blanket recall of all civilians, Hagel said in a message Saturday. However, Department of Defense and Department of Justice attorneys concluded that the law does allow the Department of Defense to eliminate furloughs for employees whose responsibilities contribute to the morale, well-being, capabilities, and readiness of service members. Officials guessed that 90% of 350,000 furloughed workers fit that definition, but still don't have precise estimates. And as Tara mentioned, one of our most involved discussions on the Army Wife Network Facebook page during the past week involved the closing of stateside commissaries. Army Times posted the latest news on the reopening this morning. This is what they had to say. Commissaries are back to their normal operating schedule, said Defense Commissary Agency spokesman Kevin Robinson. But it may take 3 to 5 business days to get the shelves fully stocked, depending on the size of the store and location. Officials have to restart the supply line after stores were closed starting October 2nd because of the government shutdown. Officials are asking customers to be patient as the stores go through this short period of adjustment, he said, but shelves should be fully stocked by the end of the week. On Saturday, Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel announced that most DoD civilians who've been placed on emergency furlough would be asked to return to work beginning this week. And the biggest news story this week, are we getting paid, may be answered in this afternoon's Facebook update from the Defense Finance and Accounting Service, which reads, in an update to the October 4th military pay post, although we are still awaiting final guidance, we believe all pay and allowances included in mid-month pay are covered by the Pay Our Military Act and will be received on time. And those are your need-to-know news stories for this week. Stay tuned to the Army Wife Network Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6, Corey, signing out.
Remember when you saw the homeless woman in the snow and you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you saw the news report about wounded soldiers and you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all those times you almost helped? You meant to, but somehow you forgot. You were too busy, and it slipped your mind. Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But if you almost gave, there's a good chance everybody else almost gave too, which means it's quite possible there was no soup kitchen at all, that no one visited those vets, and that your neighbor never got that hot meal. Because almost giving is the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. To find out how, visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. This message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details. You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry, AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website www.armywifenetwork.com or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio here on the Army Wife Network. I'm your host, Tara Crooks.
And I'm your host, Paula Swanson. Tonight, we have with us Patty Barron, Director of Family Readiness of AUSA, which is the Association of the United States Army. Patty joined the staff at AUSA in January of 2012.
So excited that Patty's here. As the Director of Family Programs, she provides management and oversight to all directorate activities to include establishing and maintaining relationships with the Department of Defense and non-government organizations, representing AUSA on Department of Defense and Department of the Army councils and working groups, and disseminating information to Army families on current programs and benefits. She's really good at what she does, too, and she's got an awesome staff up there. So we're really pleased to welcome Patty to our show tonight to talk about AUSA and their family programs and all they've got going on. Are you there, Miss Patty?
I am here. I am so excited to be on the radio, on especially on
Yay!
Army Wife Talk Radio. Thank you.
I think, Patty, what our listeners don't know is you're a fan, so we're excited.
Yes.
I will never forget the first night you showed up in chat. I was like, guys, Patty Barron's in the chat room.
Well, I'm a huge fan. You guys do such an incredible job, and especially when there's so many folks out there trying to figure out millennials and what they're all about. I listen to the radio show as much as I can, and I learn so much all the time. I love you guys.
We are big goofballs, don't you? That's what you learn.
No, not at all.
Well, Patty, we are thrilled to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family and what came to why you came to AUSA, I guess, and then where you're calling from tonight.
Sure. So I'm an Army spouse of 33 years, 30 years active duty, and my husband just retired 3 years ago. But you know what they're saying now, once a soldier, always a soldier. And I want to say once an Army spouse, always an Army spouse. I have three great kids. My oldest, Michael, is 30, and he lives in Brooklyn, works in Manhattan. He was that Army kid that hated every place we went and loved every place we left, if that makes any sense. He always just made it very hard to move because he just did not like to move. But we're so proud of him. He's done great. And he really looks back on his Army, he calls it his Army Kingdom or his Army King time, whatever it is. And and he says that it was really, really kind of an experience for him that's kind of shaped him now as an adult. My daughter, Megan, just recently was medically retired as an Army captain. She was stationed up at Fort Rich, and that's an airborne unit for those of you that might be familiar with Fort Richardson with the 4th or 25th Infantry. And they had a they had just gotten back from Afghanistan, and they decided to do a jump about about a month or so later, and they did a night combat jump, and she did not land so well. So she was medically retired because of her back injuries, but she's doing great, and the best and most exciting news of my life is that she is pregnant with my first grandchild. So excited. She and her husband, who is a captain in the Army, are stationed out at Fort Polk. And so I have another little military child that I'm going to be very concerned about and very much passionate about. And then my youngest, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to tell you, you know, they asked them, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I wanted to, they asked Hillary Clinton, or they asked Chelsea Clinton, would Hillary give up the presidency or and not run, or would she rather be grandma? Which would she do if she had to choose between presidency or grandma? And they said that she actually might choose grandma if she had to. And so, Patty, you better not be choosing grandma over at USA.
I've already told General Sullivan, sir, if my daughter needs me, I am out of here. But he assures me that I can telecommute, no problem there.
Okay, and, all right. Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You had more to tell us. I'm sorry. But it just made me think of that whenever you said that. So.
Absolutely. It's like the greatest thing. I can't wait. And then my little guy, who's not so little, he just graduated from high school this past May, and now he is a freshman at Cornell. So military kids make it to the Ivy League, I'm here to tell you. And he is studying ecology and evolutionary biology, and he wants to be an environmentalist. We did send him to West Point for the Leadership Week up there, and then after he came home, we said, well, what do you think? He said, absolutely not. So my two boys definitely don't want to go into the Army, but my daughter decided to follow in her dad's footsteps, and I'm proud of all three of them. Let's see. I met my husband when he was an ROTC cadet at USF, and I fell in love, of course, with the uniform and, at the time, the mustache. He doesn't have a mustache anymore. And we've been together ever since, and I've been a part of his military career since almost day one, and it's been the best life I could possibly have hoped for. Obviously, it can be stressful at times. He was in Iraq. Megan was in Afghanistan. But I wouldn't trade my life for anything. And I'm calling you from home.
And home is in D.C., right?
Yes, home is in Washington, D.C., where all the action, or should I say inaction, is.
You have to tell me something, Patty. I heard, it's a rumor, so I want to squash the rumor. I heard that D.C. wasn't getting trash collection during the government shutdown. Is that true or false?
I don't know, because I live in, thankfully, in Northern Virginia, but I wouldn't be surprised, because the D.C. government is paid for by, you know, the federal, by Congress, and so I don't know.
It could be a really stinky place.
It always kind of is, but maybe even stinkier. Sorry about that.
Patty, you're in trouble.
I know, I'm going to get in so much trouble. You guys bring it out.
Well, now we'll get back to business and quit being silly, but I do want to know that, so you should find out for me, okay?
I will.
Okay, well, tell us how you got involved with AUSA, because you've been involved for a while. Not necessarily, weren't you involved before you were Director of Family Programs?
In a way, I knew Sylvia Kidd, who was the Director of Family Programs before me, and, of course, the first Director of Family Programs, an amazing woman. Sylvia was the spouse of Sergeant Major of the Army, Richard Kidd, when the Chief of Staff of the Army, Gordon Sullivan, was doing his tour as the Chief of Staff. And so they had a great relationship, and when Sylvia told General Sullivan, when he came to AUSA, you know, you really need to do something about families, he said, great, Sylvia, you're on, you know, let's do it. So
Sylvia's been on the show, I think. Way back when, but yeah, so really
an amazing
lady.
Absolutely, and so knowledgeable and passionate about families, especially Army families. But I actually a very typical Army spouse in that I had to reinvent myself everywhere we went. So my formal education is I have a Bachelor of Science in Nursing, and I have a Master's in Community Counseling. However, our first assignment was in Germany, and they had no room for nurses up in the 20-bed hospital that they had in Bremerhaven, and I could not work on the economy. So I learned to do an awful lot of things besides nursing, and I've jack of all trades, master of none. I think I was a religious education coordinator. I was a BSEP teacher. I was a drug and alcohol counselor. A substitute teacher at the high school, you name it, I did it. And then we moved to Fort Lewis, where I took I tried to be a nurse then, but Mike was as an infantryman, and you all know infantrymen are definitely never home. He was never home, and I was trying to work shift work, and I couldn't find babysitters to take care of my babies in the evening, and so I had to quit that job and try to find something else that would pay me and also that I could work during the day. So I ended up at CYS, Child Youth Services at Fort Lewis, and was one of the very first folks that helped create the family centers, you know, the family care centers on post. That was a million years ago, 1986 or so, 86, 87. Lots progressed through lots of different kinds of jobs. I've been a tour guide at West Point. I've been a community health nurse. I've been a volunteer mental health counselor when the in Germany, where the psychologist was very, very busy and didn't have time to really train me, so he gave me all of his families to take care of, and some of them were very, very ill, and it was a little bit scary, but I survived that, and they did too, thankfully, and I just kind of just did it all. But when I my son became my oldest, went into his freshman year of college, my husband said, remember the deal we had a long time ago that you would be the college tuition machine? And so I had to go. Yeah, I really had to find a job. And we were here in D.C. That was back in 2001. We had just left the War College. And I did what I've always done when I wanted to really find a job is I went over to Army Community Service. And this one was at Fort Myer. And I gave them my resume, which was kind of, you know, patched up all together. And I said, this is what I can do. What do you need me to do? And they said, well, we need a homework coordinator. Can you do that? I said, absolutely, I can do that. And my first day on the job at Fort Myer was 9/11/2001. So obviously I did not make it into work that day, but I made it into work shortly after, and I did not do homework coordination. I ended up helping with the family assistance center that they had set up for all of the victims over at the Pentagon, and then I also ended up helping with all of the Pentagon, the funerals over at Arlington Cemetery from 9/11. So They quickly saw that I was pretty able to be flexible, and I could do lots of different kinds of things. And before I knew it, I was a contractor with them, and I ended up being the multicultural program coordinator because they said, can you teach English? Of course, I never had taught English before, and I said, sure, I can do that. And then, you know, I figured it out. And I'm bilingual, so I think people feel like if you can speak another language, well, obviously you can teach English. So, but I worked that out. I went from there to NMFA, the National Military Family Association, after two very good friends of mine were in command positions in Mosul, Iraq, and that was when the bomber went into the mess hall and basically, you know, blew himself up and took lots of soldiers with him. And two of my dearest friends were there, and I was just so scared and talked to both of their spouses to find out that they were okay. But I felt then that I needed to do more, that I couldn't just sit on the sidelines, and I had to get more involved. And so I went to NMFA and said, here's my resume. Is there anything here that you think I can do? And they said, well, we need a deputy director of government relations. Can you do that? And I said, yep, I can do that. Never had done anything like that before. But, you know, they'll teach you how to work with Congress. You just need to know your issues. And I certainly knew our military family issues. From there, I went to 0-3, where I worked there for a year and a half. If you know, it's a wonderful organization that has a program called Coming Together on Military Families, and they really focus on young families with very young children. And it was while I was there that Sylvia called me and said, I want to retire. And they told me I couldn't retire until I found my own replacement, and I thought of you. And I was just so honored that she had thought of me. I was like, are you kidding? Really? You want me to do this? And she said, absolutely. So that's how I ended up at AUSA, and I've been there since January of 2012.
I couldn't leave. That's
how it is over there. Trust me. Yes. Exactly. So I love what I do, and I'm very passionate, obviously, about military families and especially soldiers and families. And so I'm very lucky to be at AUSA doing the work that I do.
Absolutely.
Well, Patty, that leads us. Tell us exactly what AUSA Family Program is. Walk us through that.
Absolutely. I got my little 10-second commercial, and then I'll expand. So AUSA Family Programs, and we're actually getting ready to announce at the annual meeting that we changed our name to Family Readiness, supports Army families through four pillars of service, and they are education, information, advocacy, and outreach. Obviously, the education pillar is where the annual meeting falls under, and I know we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But the information piece is where we can provide lots of resources to FRGs and ACSs, where we can buy like the quick series or the flip books or different kinds of pamphlets or flyers that maybe they don't have, and we will send it to them free of charge. The advocacy piece, of course, we keep very much in tune with what our Army families need, and we make sure that our legislative affairs folks know what it is that they're talking about, so that if there's a bill that comes along or there's the TMC, which is the Military Coalition of which we are charter members, if they have an issue that they'd like to bring to the forefront of Congress, you know, we're right there with them. And then the outreach part is just the opportunity to get out, meet lots of spouses and families, and work with you all and others, and just say, you know, we are here, we want to be a part of the conversation, and we also want to bring the conversation back to AUSA. So that's what we do. We have two and a half people. I'm the director. One of my colleagues is Maranatha Bivens, who is the she is the web, social media, and special projects specialist. And then Holly Hodges is the my assistant and the administrative assistant. And Maranatha is an Army child. She was raised in an Army family, and her dad retired just recently. So Maranatha, most of her life has been an Army child. And Holly's husband is currently active duty, and he's actually stationed in Turkey. His name is Lieutenant General Ben Hodges. And so we're really excited to have both of them on board, because they really know families as much as I do. So that's what we do.
Well, I know that they've got a big mission up there at AUSA proper, just, you know, not, and that family readiness and family programs, whichever one you want to be called right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Formerly known as family programs, family readiness.
Right.
It's just one of their arms. They've got a huge mission, but we are really glad that family programs fits into that, because, of course, we think families are important. I mean, we do, because we are the family.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, you guys know, if mama's happy, everybody's happy, or if you're the, you know, male spouse, if daddy's happy, then everybody's happy. Well, anyway, you know, mama would still be happy because daddy would be taking care of things. So either way, it's mama's world, everybody.
Absolutely. I we certainly have a secret weapon at AUSA in the form of General Gordon Sullivan, who was, like I mentioned before, the Army Chief of Staff, actually during the 90s when we had the first drawdown. And so his perspective and the things that he thinks about now and can actually share with the Pentagon, it's you know, what is that, commercial, priceless? It truly, truly is. And they do worry about Army families, but they worry very much also about the soldier. They worry about the end strength. They worry about, you know, equipment. They worry about really big items that only AUSA can talk about in such a way, because so many of the members of AUSA and the leadership of AUSA has had very intimate knowledge of all of the things that they do discuss. So I'm really proud to be part of the team.
Yeah, it is a wonderful team to be a part of, too. So Star and I are really excited because you invited us to be panelists on the upcoming AUSA annual meeting.
Yes.
A big expo going on up there. I got to go for the first time 2 years ago. Was it two or 3 years ago, girls? It was when I ran lived through the Army 10 miler. Anyway, I remember coming down into all of that and being like, oh my gosh, if you've never been, you really need to try to make it to an AUSA annual meeting and expo. It's pretty cool. There's all kinds of good stuff for you to tell us about that we're going to do this year, just at the at the event, but specifically family programs. Tell us and our audience about what these forums are about and why you would want to sign up and why they want to be at. What are we discussing?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first I want to give a shout out to Army Wife Network, because I've been a fan for a little while, and when I realized that Sylvia had been helping to sponsor some of your field exercises, I was really excited and I wanted to learn more. Once I learned more, I thought, I've got to have these ladies come to one of the forums. They have to be there, because I think that you do really represent the younger spouses that are out there, and so we were thrilled when you accepted our invitation.
Yay.
What the forums really are part of the much bigger picture of the annual meeting and expo. And so traditionally, the AUSA annual meeting hosts about 30 to 38,000 at our peak people at the meeting. And that's just a huge number. We take over the entire Walter E. Washington Convention Center, and it's really quite a big deal. Army leadership attends. In the old days, before the GSA debacle, you know, where they sent where they went to Las Vegas and had their big conferences, and after that nobody could have a conference. Before then, we would get lots and lots of soldiers attending. But since that happened, they really have curtailed attendance to conferences that the Army and the military has. Actually, the federal government has. But we're still able to really draw a good amount of people, and we're expecting anywhere between 30 and 32,000 this year, which is a really good mix. Now, lots of people have asked, what is this shutdown, government shutdown, going to do to the annual meeting? And I can honestly tell you it's not going to impact us, at least not in the sense that we won't close down shop. We are going to have the annual meeting. We still expect a very robust turnout. The only thing that it could impact us on is some of the TDY that could have come from other places and maybe had some other folks that were going to attend but might not be able to. But we still expect really good representation from Army leadership and others. So we're excited about the annual meeting, and the Military Family Forums are really four forums that we have throughout the 2.5 days or the 3 days of the annual meeting. Our first one is always given over to the Army leadership because they find that it's a really valuable way to talk to Army families and kind of come face-to-face with them in a town hall-style meeting. So we will have Lieutenant General Ferreter, Michael Ferreter, who is the IMCOM and AXIM commander. We'll have Lieutenant General Jeffrey Talley, who is the director of the Army Reserve, and then Lieutenant General William Ingram, who is the chief of the Army National Guard. They will host our first panel and town hall. Then we'll have a break, and then we'll get the big guys. We'll get the Secretary of the Army, the Chief of Staff of the Army, and Sergeant Major of the Army all coming to do a town hall with our in-house audience. But not only are we going to have an in-house audience, we've also been really fortunate that we have a wonderful, robust audience virtually. And there have been 20 installations and 10 National Guard sites that have raised their hand and said, we are wanting to host virtual forums at our location. So we're going to have a wide virtual audience as well. And what I love about the virtual audience is that they're mostly FRG and FRSAs. So you're really getting to the folks that you want to reach. And that, I don't think you can get much better than that.
Well,
so
and what's cool
about,
is – oh, go ahead. I was going to say, on that, I was just going to tell you, when I was at Fort Sill, I actually attended a mm-hmm. virtual and went in with everybody, and we connected from the installation, and you had a bunch of leaders in the room, and so we got to watch it all. And it was really good because you had – you could talk in the room, kind of
mm-hmm.
about the issues that you were talking about, too, and ask questions together kind of deal. But if you're not – I mean, if you're at a location right now – and you are not invited to one of these virtual things or don't know how to get to one of these virtual things, you can still connect on your own, too.
Absolutely.
And,
thank you, Sarah.
I wanted people to make sure they knew that because I don't think I knew that, believe it or not. And the second day, I was like, well, I couldn't be there at that whole entire time, but I wanted to kind of pop in whenever I could kind of deal. And I thought, well, I don't want to drive all the way over to the other side of Post, And so I thought, well, I'm going to go online. They were online. Let me go online,
mm-hmm.
see if I can find
mm-hmm.
it. And lo and behold, there you go. So
absolutely.
Don't think that if you can't, I think it's awesome if you can be in there, especially the cool thing about that, too, is a lot of the command will let the firsts do that on the job. So you make sure that, they're still at work and reporting
mm-hmm.
for duty, but they're getting to connect, which is great. If you're a volunteer and you couldn't go in and or weren't in, didn't know how to get to one of those virtual events, you could still connect. Anyone can connect at any time. So if you're at home with your kids and you can't make it, that doesn't mean you can't be there virtually connected. And I want to make sure they know that because I think that that will increase the audience, and then you guys can actually
mm-hmm.
get involved
a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway,
and
I mean to steal your thunder.
No, not at all. I so appreciate that. Thank you. And folks can go to www.ausa.org/family, which is the family readiness landing page. And there will be a link there starting on Monday the 21st that will say, you know, to view virtual forums, click here, and that'll take you right to the live streaming. So anyone anywhere with a computer and an internet connection can watch. And this year we are, as we did last year, we're taking questions from the virtual field, if you will, through our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AUSA family, and thank you for the plug earlier. You're welcome. But you don't have to be in a forum to ask a question. You can ask a question on our Facebook page, and we're going to try really hard to try to get an answer. And if not, during the time that the forum is going on, we will collect all the questions and then get them to the subject matter experts and make sure that we get them back on our Facebook page answered, so that you'll eventually get an answer to your question. So really excited about how that's going to work out.
I am excited too, and I think that it is just great that people, if you can't afford to go there, because I know budgets are tight, and obviously, mm-hmm. you know, with all this stuff going on, I mean, people may not be able to make it on their own, and who knows what's going to happen with some of the TDY that, you know, you may see some people not knowing whether or not they can come, but you can still be a robust participant. I mean, I know that's kind of a crazy word to use, but seriously, you can really get on there, and I know we've got some extremely intelligent questions out there, and people who have concerns that need to be addressed, and they absolutely can get on at any time. Tell us what we're going to talk about. Go through the forums, actual titles, and what we're going to talk about at the family forums.
Absolutely. So the first one, you know, like I said, that belongs to the leaders, and they really want to hear from you and answer your questions. But after that, we're trying to connect all the forums to some type of a theme, and thinking about what we're all going through through this fiscally tight time. And the fact that we really have these big, giant question marks over our heads about what family programs are going to stay, what's going to leave, what does this all look like, what does the drawdown mean to me, all that. We realized that what we needed to do was kind of go back to basics just a little bit. Obviously, the last 10 to 13 to 12 years where we've been at war, there have been lots. We've had lots of resources and lots of money that's been thrown at us, but those times are gone. I'm not sure when they're ever going to come back, so we're back down to tight budgets and less resourcing. However, it doesn't mean that you cannot find what you need when you need it, where you need it. And so in thinking about that, we're looking at the different communities that we populate. So forum number two is really going to look at your community of family. And the title of that forum is The Performance Triad, A Holistic Approach to Self-Care. And in thinking about all the research that I've read, and I'm sure you, many of your audience members have as well, what we see is during deployments and afterwards, if a caregiver or that spouse is doing okay, chances are that their children and their family are going to do well as well. Therefore, it's important for that person to learn how to take care of themselves, to learn how to sleep well, to learn how to eat well, to learn how to try to fit in some exercise, to learn about stress management, all these kinds of different things. And we have a fantastic panel of folks that are going to be giving us lots of different perspectives on that. If any of you are following us on Facebook, and we're slowly but surely getting up to that 1,000 person mark, so we're almost at 900. If anybody's following us on Facebook, you'll see that we've put profiles of all of our speakers and panelists on there, and hopefully, you know, I won't take up time now explaining them all to you, but they're wonderful. And then our keynote speaker is Lieutenant General Patricia Horjo, who is one of my personal heroes. I just think she's the best person, the best Surgeon General of the Army we've ever had. And she really is going to talk about the new initiative that they have called the Performance Triad. So that's forum number two on Tuesday morning from 9 to 12 Eastern Time. And then we go to forum number three, which starts at 2 that afternoon, that same day, October 22nd, and goes until 5 o'clock. And that forum is called Community Resources, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. So now we're taking that concept of community, and we're going now to that geographic community where we all live. 70% of our families live off the installation, means that there's an awful lot of civilian folks that surround us and civilian organizations and support that surround us. And maybe we don't always think of tapping into those resources, but I think we need to start thinking about that even more. And so we're going to try to get that message across, bring in folks that can talk from experience on how they did that. And our keynote speakers for that forum are Colonel David Sutherland, who used to be the community outreach and family outreach person for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at that time, Admiral Mullen. And he is now the founder of the Dixon Center and so incredibly connected to just all across the United States to different communities and resources. So he's going to talk a little bit about why it's important to support our military and our transitioning families into veteran status. And then after that, we've got someone from the National Organization on Disability, and that's Lieutenant General retired Buster Hagenbach, who some of your audience members might remember as being the superintendent at West Point probably about two or three soups ago. And he's going to talk about how his organization had never thought about military families, and all of a sudden the light bulb went on and they realized they could really fill a need, and they have. And then fantastic panelists that will give us even more information. What I love about this particular forum and the things that I want to talk to our audience, to your audience about is, I think about families that come back that have service members that have experienced TBIs. Of course, their life changes quite a bit. Depending on the severity of the TBI, it could change drastically. And even though the military is there to support that soldier, and since we're talking Army, I'll say soldier, but that service member, there's not always an awful lot of education or awareness that's given to that caregiver or even that family. But, you know, there are national organizations that on TBI, on traumatic brain injury, because you can get traumatic brain injuries from playing sports. You can get traumatic brain injuries from being in car accidents. And these organizations, although they're not focused specifically on the military, they surely do have down the expertise on how to work with a family member that has TBI. So those are the kinds of things that I want our families to start thinking of is, if it goes away here or if I can't find it here, where can I find it and how can I access that? And then we move on to forum number 4, which is our last forum on Wednesday morning, and that is from 9 to 12 again on the 23rd. And we now are looking at that virtual community that we all populate, and this is the one that we're really excited about because I got these two ladies that I know named Tara Crooks and Star Henderson that are going to they're going to come on board and be the keynote speakers, and then we're going to have this really fun forum that's going to be kind of modeled after a radio show. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have heard that show before or not, but
yeah.
So Kristen just asked a question, and I think it applies right here where we can kind of tell her that, yeah, our entire program is going to be Q&A back and forth, and we really are going to find a way to make it interactive. But Kristen was wanting to know, and I guess I shouldn't have dimed her out, but she asked in the chat room. she wouldn't know.
That's okay.
Last year she felt like it was a lot more of statements instead of Q&A
mm-hmm.
and question answering. Mm-hmm. So have you changed anything this year to make that?
Yes,
more?
And okay. Absolutely. And what we did last year, it was my first year as the director, and I think, I bit off a little bit more than I could chew in terms of having, you know, the keynote speaker and two panels. And so if somebody went over, that was it. You were sunk, you know. And this year, from advice that we got from lots of different people, and Tara, I was so grateful that I was able to talk to both you and Star and get some very good feedback from both of you on what could have been, you know, what was good and what could we change to make it even better. We've decided this year that we will only have one panel, and we are really working very hard to at least give a 15, if not 20-minute Q&A session after each speaker or panel. I even bought my very own iPad that I paid for out of my own little pocket because it's got this app that gives you the green light and then the yellow light and then the red light, very similar to the TED Talks. And
so you're going to be able to tell them to shut up is what you're saying.
I'm going to be like, cut, cut, cut. I've got the hook. I'm all set and already. So,
well, wait, you need to know. You do need a hook. A hook would be funny. That would be some comic relief. But but I have to tell you guys out there, everybody's listening, I agree, and I said the same thing Kristen said, and I said they need more interaction, time to interact. But I swear to you, if y'all don't interact and you leave these speakers standing up there, this speaker is not going to be happy. So you better have some questions or else.
Exactly.
Because if I've planned 15 minutes of you asking questions and I got to twiddle my thumbs and figure out something to say for 15 minutes, it's not going to be pretty.
And
I'll start talking about random things again.
No, that's actually great, because what one of the things that we're asking our potential audience members is that, especially if you're on the West Coast and you're not sure that you're going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning for a 9 o'clock session, but you can watch it because all of the live feeds are then taped and archived and you can access them any time after that, is to look at the go to our Facebook page, look at all of the different speakers that we have, and if something prompts you about, I wonder about blah, 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 send the questions to us ahead of time, even post them on our Facebook page now if you'd like, and then that way we can have some questions to kind of fill in some of that quiet time until people really get going. So, yeah, we are going to try really hard this time to make sure that it's more interactive than it was last year.
Sounds good.
Hey, Patty, we want to ask you about the exciting new membership category at AUSA. Can you tell us about that? We want to touch base with that.
Thank you, Tara. I'm so super excited about the spouse membership category. I mean, it's just really, really exciting. So I want to say last year when I first came on board, there were some questions being asked both from the VPs and General Sullivan and also some other spouses that I knew about why AUSA didn't have a spouse membership category. And the answer that I would get sometimes is, oh, but spouses can join AUSA. They can join under the civilian category. And what I would tell them is, you know, if I looked online and I looked at all the categories of membership and I saw civilian, I would not respond to that. I would say that's not me. I wouldn't see me there. Therefore, I would say, oh, I guess I don't join AUSA. So after a lot of discussion and the VPs and General Sullivan were really behind it, we decided to really bring in a focus group of spouses, different ranks, different components, both active and reserve, and ask them, you know, why would you want to join AUSA? And the answer that we got loud and clear was because we want a voice within the association. We want a vote with the association. And you know, so many spouses out there are just incredibly savvy, very talented, and they have something to say, and they want a place where they can say it. Now, the question that they asked us was, why should we join AUSA? We can join other organizations that advocate on behalf of military families. And we said, that's absolutely true, and we love those organizations. However, AUSA is the only organization that focuses solely on the Army and the Army families and Department of the Army civilians and families. No one else does that because they have a much broader, more purple perspective. Therefore, we have very special relationships with the Pentagon and the Department of the Army leadership, as well as when we go to the Hill, we talk specifically about Army issues. And so that kind of resonated with them. So we worked really hard, and we are getting ready to do our hard launch at the annual meeting where we're going to announce the spouse membership category. And I have taken a lesson from the Army Wife Network. I tell you, I watch you guys, and I watch you very closely all the time. And I realize that in order for people to – yeah, if they want to stay – if they want to stay connected, then you have to reach out to them and you have to engage them. You can't just be, great, thank you for joining, and then never talk to them again. So if you join AUSA under the spouse category, you will get a little welcome packet, if you will. It's basically three little items that we'll send you via email. And one of the items is a survey that where we ask you about what most interests you, and then we ask you, how would you like to be involved or engaged with the things that interest you the most. Some people might say, I'd like to be involved in a focus groups. Other people might say, I could blog for you. Other people might say, I just want you to keep me updated. Whatever it is, you know, we will make sure that we note that. Because as issues come up, and as a matter of fact, we've gotten very very close to the military, the Congressional Military Family Caucus, and they're starting to come to us, and Joining Forces invited us to come to one of their meetings. What they're asking for is input from the field, and if we get it, we can bring it to those folks and say, this is what the Army spouses are saying to us now, and your voice will be heard in lots of different arenas. But, you know, you can't have just the membership, especially if it's a spouse membership, not have a little bling. So what we ended up doing was we went over to Ann Hand and worked with Ms. Hand herself, and she designed a little membership pin just for us. And during the annual meeting, the first 100 spouses that join at the convention center will get a free Ann Hand pin. And we have not forgotten our virtual delegates. Virtually, anybody that joins us online between Monday through Wednesday will also receive a free and hand pin, up to 100 people each time. So we'll be giving out 200 and hand pins free of charge that she designed just for AUSA. So we're really excited about it, and I hope that everybody gets excited because we want to be your association. We want you to tell us what you need us to do, and we want representation. We'll have representation at the local chapter levels where they're going to start reaching out to a military or an Army spouse to be on their exec committees, and then we're going to form through 2014 the National Advisory Council of Spouses, so or the AUSA Spouse Advisory Council. So we're really excited about that, and we'll be taking applications in for people that are interested.
So what do you do if you wait and you sign up as a spouse member? So, like, I my husband was a member, and I think I either signed up under him or I did something for a while, but I don't think that I am now because you told me about this, and I held off. So it'll be up on the page. And what did you tell us what it cost us? Because there was a special rate, right?
Well, the rate for spouse membership has fluctuated back and forth throughout, you know, since we came up with the idea to fruition.
Okay.
So you join under whatever rank your husband is, and we are also reaching out to our surviving spouses. So our surviving spouses can also join AUSA under the spouse membership category at their husband's last rank. Now, if you had already joined as a civilian because you felt strongly about being a member of AUSA and now you see, oh, now there's a spouse category, I wish I would have known, what we're going to do throughout 2014, starting in October to October, every month that we get a renewal, if that renewal comes under the new spouse membership category, then we will send 10 people a free and hand pin too. So we don't want to leave the ladies that have been kind of near and dear to our hearts for a while out in the cold. And so you can join for as little as $14 a year all the way up to something like $38 a year.
Okay. All right. Well, I knew that was going to be the next question that somebody asked. So we've got a wrap. We are a little over, but that's okay.
Oh,
we love
so
talking
sorry.
To you. And I know Jeff understands. But where do we find you? If we're a military family member and we want to be there for the forums or just check out AUSA family programs in general, where do we go?
Go to www.ausa.org/family, and all sorts of information will be on that landing page.
You are awesome. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. And
we love that you're here
all the time, but thank you especially for tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, you guys. Have a great time.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks. All right.
Can't wait. All righty. Bye.
Yay. Guys, that does it for our main guest segment this evening, but don't go anywhere. Up next, we've got Janet with our resource of the week. Tonight, Good Financial Sense, and my good friend Jeff Rose. You guys are going to have a great time. I'm actually a little envious, but I'll be right here listening. You should be too. We'll be right back.
Army Wife Talk Radio salutes our soldiers.
You're a grand old flag, you're a high flying flag, and forever in peace may you wave. You're the emblem of the land I love, the home of the free and the brave. Every heartbeat to meet the red, white, and blue, where there's never a boast or brag. What should old acquaintance be forgot? Keep your eye on the grand old flag.
This is Army Wife Talk Radio Live. Give us a call to share your story. Now, it's time for the AWTR Resource of the Week.
Hi, and welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. It's time for our Resource of the Week, and I'm your host, Janet McIntosh. Every week, we feature informative resources for you, our military families. And this week, we have with us Jeff Rose, a certified financial planner, founder of GoodFinancialSense.com, and author of Soldier of Finance. Jeff, are you with us?
I hope so.
Excellent. Great to hear you.
Yeah, glad to be here.
So we like to start the segment off with you telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Yeah, so I am, wow, all right, where do I start? I've been a financial planner for 10 years. I recently started my own practice about 5 years ago. Somewhere along the way, I stumbled on what a blog was, so I started blogging with GoodFinancialSense.com. And all before that, I was in the Army National Guard for 9 years. I deployed to Iraq in 2005, and actually left home January 2005 and returned April 2006. And after that one deployment, my wife gave me an ultimatum. She's like, you can stay in or you can continue to be married to me. So I love my wife. But one deployment was plenty, and God bless, there are men and women that continue to serve. So, wow. And then everything has just been awesome the last couple of years. I've been working on a book, called Soldier Finance, which you mentioned, for just really short amount of time. It was like 4.5 years, I think. Finally got it published just last month, actually. And, and everything has just been awesome. We've got three young boys that were in the room earlier with me, just doing their usual WWE throwdown. Luckily,
saw that in the chat room.
luckily, no blood, no broken bones, just a typical night in the Rose household. And right now I'm calling from Carbondale, Illinois, which is on the southern tip of Illinois, about the furthest you can be away from Chicago and still be in the state. And we have a lot of farmland, a lot of cows, and a Walmart, and that's about it.
That's awesome. Well, Jeff, I want to start off first by thanking you for your service and thanking your family for their service as well. We appreciate, you know, what you've given and what your family has given to this country. And congratulations as well on the publishing of the book. I know that Army Wife Network, our Loving a Soldier blog and the Good Financial Sense blog kind of launched at the same time. And we've had you on the show before, so we knew that the book, you've been in the works with the book for at least a few years now. So what prompted you to finally write the book and make that dream a reality?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to write a book. I just didn't know what the angle was going to be. And
Right. Literally
had a chance encounter with a CNBC executive producer, and it didn't amount to anything other than she's like, you know, if you're going to write a book, you need to write something and talking about, like, your military background and, you know, something to do with the soldier's discipline to investing. And when she told me that, I was like, wow, that's it. Like, that's at least the angle. And
right.
I initially went to Barnes & Noble, went to Amazon and looked and didn't see anything. I never really saw anybody that really tackled it from this side. So I knew that was the, I guess, the premise of the book. Now the other part was like, what's going to be about? And, you know, for people to get a chance to check out the book, for anyone that's gone through basic training, you know, I know when I was in, they had the training hand guide, the soldier's handbook. I think nowadays it's the warrior's guide or warrior's manual. It could be something different now, but you know, this is the pocket guide we had to carry with us everywhere we went. And if we got caught without, that wasn't a good thing, but that's what the book is modeled after, is, you know, just giving people the basic they need to take charge of life financially. And the one thing I make evident in the book is that, you know, people see me now, I've got my own financial planning practice, I'm a published author, they see all these good things. But the reality is that I made a lot of bad financial decisions, and I could have let those decisions, you know, ruin me. But, you know, I wanted more, and I challenge myself and, you know, to do better, to do better
right. Things.
And, you know, thank goodness I did. And the military was a huge part of that for me.
Now, I'm actually curious about the title of the book. You call it Soldier of Finance. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the idea behind that title and maybe a quick synopsis of what they'll find in the book?
Yeah, you know, I think so. You know, quickly when people start glancing through it, I had a military spouse read it, and she laughed because I made a comment or a reference to BCGs, and immediately she was sold. She's like, okay, this is a personal finance book talking about BCGs. Like, I'm in. And I love that response from her. But, you know, I first start off and just share, you know, a little bit about my personal story. And not only my personal story, but my father's story. You know, he struggled with debt for as long as I can remember. And what this book is, it just really wants to empower people, inspire people to, you know, one, give them the inspiration they need to, you know, get on track with their finances, but then also, two, give them the tools that they need. You know, so I teach people the basics of credit, you know, getting their credit in order, you know, to tackle debt, what they need to do. And after each section, you'll find, just like you'll find in the Soldier's Handbook, you'll find a go, no-go portion that basically gives them actionable items that they can take advantage on, or, you know, to actually enlist in, to make sure that they understand what they're doing. And it's just a neat way just to kind of get, hold people accountable, but also give them real things that they can check off, you know, their to-do list.
Now, in the beginning of the book, you do talk about how being successful with your finances requires you to have a certain skill set, very similar to what a soldier is required to have. You talk about certain traits like discipline, planning, and forethought, as well as having a commitment to achieving a particular goal. How does your book help people to start down that path to develop those qualities if they don't already have them?
Yeah, you know, for those that, you know, don't have the fortunate luxury, you know, of having some of those military skills, you know, because I contribute so much to what the military did for me, you know, but those that maybe don't have that experience, you know, I walk them through a process of defining what their why is. And it sounds a little bit corny, a little bit cheesy, but I see so many people that start down a path of, you know, wanting to get out of debt or start investing for themselves, and they do it just to do it, like they're going through the motions. You know, but you need to understand what the bigger purpose is. You know, what is the why? You know, why are you trying to get out of debt? You know, what's the real reason of, you know, of the purpose? And, you know, for me, that was, you know, seeing not only my father struggle, but seeing other people struggle. And, you know, that was my why. I didn't want that. I didn't want my kids to have that, you know. So I knew that I needed to be a better steward with my money so that I can not only, you know, better our family finances, but so that I could be a positive role model with my kids as they get older. I also walk them through, you know, just the process of what it means to write down a goal, and I use the metaphor of you know, planning an operation, or, you know, going on an operation, of just listing what that mission is, you know, what's your mission statement, and also planning for any abrupt changes that might come along the way, you know, like a frag order, and just being able to adjust, because I think we all know that life does not have a certain path. I mean, there's always going to be little things that throw the life throws at you, so you have to be ready to adjust on the fly. And so those are just some of the basic things that people will see to, you know, use a lot of the skills I got from the military, but they can apply it to their life, even if they have no military background whatsoever.
Right. And I think some people, you know, I think a lot of times soldiers and people in general, they have the best of intentions, but they don't quite have the tools to kind of get them there, or they don't have something to motivate them, which actually brings me to my next question. You know, a lot of times I know spouses who, you know, want to do something like lose weight or eat better, and a lot of times a strategy that's used is having a friend kind of be there to motivate you or do it with you. And you talk about this same concept in your book, the idea of having a battle buddy, somebody to kind of hold you accountable, or an accountability partner, as you termed it, for your finances. Can you expand on that concept for our listeners, especially those who may have not served in the military, and why having that partner for your finances is important?
Yeah, you know, I mean, for those that are familiar with the battle buddy concept, you know, I know in basic training I was first introduced to that concept, and that was, you know, Private Romero, who was the guy that I had to know everything about. I had to know where he was from, where he grew up, what his hobbies were, everything about him. And the whole point of that exercise was, you know, that way you're dependent on somebody, somebody's relying on you, and you're responsible for that person, you know, 24/7. So anytime I did something wrong, you know, we both got in trouble. And, you know, it's just having that sense of accountability, you know, that I think is crucial. And, you know, the one thing about money and finances is that, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, people are kind of weird about. You know, sometimes they're not as comfortable being open and honest. And, you know, I even see this, you know, with spouses. You know, they don't really have those money conversations, those money talks, I think are so important. But you have to, you know, and just having, I know, like me and my wife as an example, like, you know, whenever I was deployed to Iraq, you know, we had just been recently married, so we were still learning, you know, what are some of those money issues, you know, what were the things that were important to us. And, you know, we had a lot of discussions because, you know, frankly, when you're deployed, you have nothing else to do but, you know, email and talk in the phone bank. So we had a lot of money conversations of, you know, just initially was like, what was our goals? What was the first thing that we wanted? You know, like how important was it to pay off some of the debt that we had versus, you know, maybe getting, you know, enough in our savings account? And, you know, these were things that we didn't talk about initially, but we had those money conversations, and those were so huge for us. And, you know, reflecting back, that has been the foundation of what, you know, how our marriage, you know, how strong we are and how strong we are with our finances. But those are those tough conversations you have to have. And you know, one of the things that my wife did, this is before we got married, and I love telling this story because I just started being a financial advisor. I've been working my butt off. And for those that don't know, your first year as a financial advisor, you don't make a lot of money. You work a lot. You make a lot of cold calls. You do a whole bunch of stuff, but you know, you're just trying to survive. And I think I would have made more money if I would have been like a manager at some retail store in a mall in that first year. But because I'd worked so hard, I fell into that entitlement trap of making myself believe that I deserved a flat screen TV, 42-inch to be exact. And I told she was my girlfriend at the time, I just told my master plan of like, you know, hey, I'm going to go out and buy this TV because Best Buy has a 0% offer. And I just told her, like, yeah, this is my great idea. And she listened. She let me finish. And her initial response was, do you really think that you need that right now? Do you really think you could afford that right now? And, you know, my initial response was like, how dare you? I didn't really say this out loud, but this is what I was thinking, you know? You know, because, like, how dare her question, you know, this purchase that I had just so strategically thought out and just felt like, you know, there was nothing wrong about this. You know, but the reality was that I had student loan debt. I had some credit card debt. I had some, you know, other debts I was still working on paying off. And I couldn't afford it. It wasn't the answer I wanted to hear, but her being my battle buddy, it was the answer that I needed to hear. And sometimes that's what a battle buddy is all about, is having that tough love and not being afraid to call somebody out when they need to hear it.
Yeah, I think my husband would say the same thing, because that conversation sounds uncannily familiar to me. We've had lots of conversations like that where he's wanted something and it's like, well, I don't think so.
Exactly.
So, well, I know we're running a little short on time, but I do want you to tell our listeners what you would recommend as the first steps that people should take once they've decided to make this change and to get, you know, their finances in order and start reaching those goals.
Yeah, you know, I think the first thing is just to figure out what exactly, you know, where you're at in your life, in your financial life. And, you know, are you on the, hey, I need to get my debt paid off. I need to start investing. Do I need to get some cash, you know, saved up, built up? You know, first identify, you know, what it is that you need to do, and make sure that you're, you know, if you have a spouse, make sure that they're on board. You know, make sure that you both are on board, whatever that plan is, and then write that down. Write it down. Okay, what are you looking to achieve? And then start going through the process of, like, okay, how do I make this a reality? You know, for example, I need to have $5,000 in my savings account because I've got nothing, you know, or maybe I only have $1,000 or $2,000, and it's important that we have this based on us traveling or, you know, being relocated or whatnot. So then you start figuring out, okay, how can I actually make this happen? You know, how do I make this a reality? Unfortunately, that usually means bringing in the B word, and B word I don't like mentioning, but it's the budget. And I hate budgeting. You know, I even say that in my book, I hate it, but I realize how important it is, especially for those that, you know, do have some clear financial goals that they want to achieve. And me and my wife, we always do what we call strategic budgeting, where we don't do it all the time, but we do it on times where something important is getting ready to happen. That could be having a new kid, changing your jobs, relocating, you know, some major life event. So, you know, these are just the steps you have to go towards to figure out, you know, whatever it is that you're looking to accomplish.
Well, unfortunately, Jeff, we're about out of time, but I do want to end the segment with you letting our listeners know where they can get a copy of the book. I know it's available right now in bookstores and online, but can you tell our listeners where they can find out more about you and about the book?
Yeah, you know, like you said, Barnes & Noble, it's there. You can go to Amazon.com, obviously, it's there as well. People could head to soldieroffinance.com. From there, you'll know a little more about the book. And actually, if they want to check it out, they can actually download the first two chapters for free.
Excellent.
Email address. So that way, if they can see if it's something that they would like to divulge more into, they can go to soldierfinance.com. And then, as you mentioned, my blog, goodfinancialsense.com. And that's where I hang out.
Well, I sure appreciate you being with us again, Jeff. I assure our listeners they will find tons of great advice, tips, and other things to get them more financially stable and organized at goodfinancialsense.com. The blog is fabulous, and we really appreciate you coming and being on the show again with us.
Yeah, no, I always have a good time. So I love Tara, what's up? Good to get you to talk, but always enjoy Tara. She's a riot.
Well, thanks, Jeff. You have a great evening.
You too. Thank you so much.
AWTR listeners, stay tuned for our AWTR Minute and more information about what's coming up next week on our show.
Looking for more resources? Visit us on the web at armywifenetwork.com. Browse our resource database. Submit your field problem question. Request field problems to be published in your area. Find tons of Army family empowerment, a directory of Army posts worldwide, message boards, live chat, and much, much more. Go to armywifenetwork.com. That's armywifenetwork.com.
This is Maria Murphy with Simply Put Together in the Me Minute. I want to talk to you about a great way to take care of yourself. When you find yourself rehashing old hurts, like the guy that cut you off in the parking lot, or the time your husband forgot your anniversary, instead of concentrating on hurt, focus on forgiveness. Studies show when we do this, we lower blood pressure and other symptoms of our fight or flight response, and we begin to feel better. We feel more mellow and more relaxed. So break the habit of rehashing painful or annoying events over and over. Instead, let go and watch your blood pressure go down. This is Maria Murphy with the Simply Put Together Me Minute. You can go to www.simplyputtogether.com to sign up for my free weekly e-letter and also to get a copy of my free ebook, 30 Minutes for Me.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Monkey that used to try to run the switchboard is back. Oh, no. Sometimes when you're trying to do things, it refreshes itself, so pardon that little glitch in the technology this evening. Thank you guys so much for being here for our show tonight. I just love Ms. Barron. She is such a cutie. And then, you know, hey, Jeff, I heard you. I almost said something, but I thought, no, I won't mess with Janet's chi over there. I'd throw her off if I started talking. But I always am here listening, so I was listening and I was talking to you, but I was muted. Join us next week, guys. We're going to be back again every week. October 14th, 2013, we're featuring the New York Times bestselling author. Are you guys ready for this? Dr. Gary Chapman and one of the most amazing military wives, Jocelyn Green. They're both the co-authors of The Five Love Languages, which by far, and even though I've written a book, is my favorite book that I've ever read. So it is something that I live by every single day, and the military edition does not disappoint. It's The Secrets to Love That Last, and our resource of the week, we've got GooGuru. It's a care package featuring the only best products that will help take care of your child and also grows with them. And I got some of those goodies that they sent here. Of course, they don't apply to my family, but I passed them on to another family, and they loved them, so that was good. But, guys, you cannot miss this show. I mean, are you kidding me? Gary Chapman and Jocelyn Green, like, if you're not here, you're square, okay, or, like, something. You're just nuts. You need to even take off Monday night and just be here because it's going to be just fantastic and amazing, and I can't believe that they're going to join us. I'm just really excited about that. How about you, Paula? Are you excited?
I am. I'm very excited about that. In the meantime, you can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Army Wife Network and, of course, our blog, lovingasoldier.com. But don't forget, as Star says, to soak up all the knowledge available on our main site, the mother site of armywifenetwork.com.
All right, guys, what'd you call that? The mothership, the mother site. We got lots of stuff going on over there. And hopefully this week on Facebook, we're going to bring you lots of good news. And I like that we were able to start the week off like that. So, guys, like I said, just make sure you take next Monday night off because it's one of the best interviews. I know it's going to be. I can already tell from now, just right now, just knowing
how awesome they are and how awesome Paula is. So, I mean, you should be here to talk with Paula if anything else, right? All right, guys, that's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. And this is Army Wife Network's core team signing out. We'll see you guys next week.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.